All right. For about the next hour and a half or so, open your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter number 10 tonight. We will get back out to the fellowship hall and finish up what we were doing, but I did not get into it like I wanted to. And the more I looked at this, the more excited I got about it. So I would ask you to turn with me to John chapter 10 this evening. I know that many of you are well grounded in this biblical truth, but it never hurts to go back over some old ground. And in fact, Peter said, it is incumbent upon me. I find it beneficial to stir up your minds by putting you in memory of these things. And so though many of you may be well grounded in the biblical truth that we discussed together this evening, I hope that it will stir your heart afresh and anew to give thanks to God for the unspeakable gift of His glorious salvation. We just jump into the narrative this evening in John chapter 10. And Jesus, it is nearing the end of His public ministry. And he is daily, really, daily battling with His opposition with the Pharisees, scribes. They would travel at distance just to try and cause Him trouble. But there are some sweet words. This is what I call the sheep chapter. John 10 helps me remember. I call it the sheep chapter because that's sort of how it begins with Jesus talking about giving His life for the sheep. In John 10, read with me as I go through verse 22 where God's Word says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. And you can follow on reading there and you'll find out the reason they want to stone Him is because He made Himself equal to God the Father. And in truth, He is equal to God the Father. Tonight, as you see over here on the wall, I want to speak to you for a little bit on the thought of eternal security. Eternal security. Now, this particular Bible teaching has many different names. A theological title for this is the perseverance and the preservation of the saints. This is a title that John Calvin came up with. It is the end of what is called the tulip doctrines or the doctrines of grace, the perseverance and the preservation of the saints. It doesn't matter to me if you know that title or call it by that title. You can simply understand it like this: once saved, always saved. And that works just fine. I want to be clear that it is important that the once saved part is made known and emphasized. We don't believe almost saved, forever saved. We believe you have to truly be saved to be always saved. So once we say once saved, always saved, we mean you have to be a true believer, born again, redeemed, washed in the blood, regenerated, new creature in Christ, once saved. But once that is true, folks, you are saved forever. And I hope maybe you can just find a little bit of comfort in that this evening. That you, though a sinner still, are you not still a sinner? That you are eternally secure, saved forever. He is able to deliver thee. God's word makes it real clear. Listen to this. And you can be confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it. If you don't know this, let me reemphasize this to you. God doesn't do anything halfway. He never has done anything halfway. And God didn't save you, then just turn you back over to you and say, now, make it as best you can. The Bible makes it clear that once someone is truly born again, that they can never lose that salvation. And that is a glorious, comforting truth. A wonderfully comforting truth. God began it. God will finish it. What God does, He does forever. You cannot add to it. You cannot take from it. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, this truth has its enemies. Don't be mistaken about it. There are many well-meaning Christians who do not believe in this. And I understand to some degree why they think this way, but that doesn't make it right. There are some who mean well, who would say, no, 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 you can lose your salvation, and you can get it again. The problem with that is you just don't find any biblical evidence for it. There's not a biblical example of it. Once you are truly saved, you are eternally secure. You are safe in the arms of Jesus. He is able to deliver thee. We just sang that together. We sang it on purpose. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to finish what He started. That is who our God is. Now, it's true. It is true that there are two sides of the coin. We must persevere and we are preserved. That is true. But do you realize, the Bible says you must remain in Christ, you must abide in Christ, you must continue in Christ. But do you realize that ultimately our perseverance, our continuing in Christ, ultimately, though it is our duty to do this, ultimately it is all by God's grace. You are saved by grace, and you are kept saved by grace. God doesn't save you and then turn you over to yourself. That's not how God works. God begins a good work. God will complete that work. If that weren't true, you could just scratch out Romans 9 out of your Bible. Romans 9 talks about those that he called, He justified, and the ones He justified, He glorified. And there's that golden chain of salvation there found in Romans chapter number 9. It makes it clear that the ones that God has called, the ones, and if you don't like this language, you just gonna have to get over it. The ones that God has elected unto salvation, chosen unto salvation, the ones that Christ came to save, the ones that He came to die for, they will hear His voice, they will follow Him, they will continue to follow Him, and they will one day ultimately be glorified and made in the image of Jesus Christ. And it will all be because God's grace. There's not one of us going to stand in heaven one day and talk about what we let God do. You're not going to stand in heaven and talk about how you kept yourself or how faithful you were. When you get to glory, all you're going to do is bow down at the feet of Jesus, say, it was all by your grace that I'm standing here. All by your abundant grace. There are many people, I realize that there are many people who think that they're saved because they made a profession of faith years ago. They repeated a prayer, raised a hand, signed a card. They did X, Y, or Z. But some of these very same ones, they've been taught enough Bible that they think, since that happened, I'm eternally secure. And they have a head knowledge, a head awareness of a Bible doctrine, but they've never had a heart change. And that's a real issue. It is a real issue in our world today. And there's a reason why God's Word constrains us to make our calling and election sure, to make sure that we are truly saved. I never want somebody to hear this doctrine and say, well, just because I did this years ago, then I'm guaranteed to get to heaven. You just better make sure what happened years ago really happened. That it was a legitimate conversion. That you were truly saved. That you have stopped trusting in self or good works. As I spoke yesterday at that volunteer luncheon, I said, I know many of you here do good works. And what you do in sacrifice and serving is good, but we cannot trust it for the salvation of our souls. The only good work you can trust in is the good work of Jesus of Nazareth. His good work that is imputed to you. You need to make sure you've trusted in that good work, the finished work of Jesus, His death and glorious resurrection in your behalf. And if you have, if you really have, you are just as secure as if you were already in heaven. Boy, I wish you'd get your mind around that. Isn't that rich? You are just as secure right now as if you were already there. That's why Romans talks about it in the past tense, because in the mind of God, it's as good as done. Are you glorified right now? No, but you will be. Because God's Word says that you will be if you have truly been saved. In this text we have here, there are a number of truths, and I just want to pull out just a couple of things out of this because I think it is rich and noteworthy. Now listen to this. Jesus confronts some of the naysayers of His day. They are trying to entrap Him and snare Him. Just tell us, are you really the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Just tell us. Jesus said, I've already told you. And He had already told them. They just didn't believe it and they didn't want to hear it. But more than that, He says, the works that I do bear witness. Go search the Old Testament. Find out what it says Messiah will do. Compare that to what I've done, and it will reveal to you that I am the Messiah. But I want you to notice this. Verse 26, Jesus says, but you believe not. Why? Why do they not believe? Because ye are not of My sheep. You know why they don't believe? Because they are not His sheep. Now you go back up there just a little bit and you're going to see in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd, the good shepherd giving His life for the sheep. You're going to find out there are sheep and there are goats. And there will be a great division one of these days between the two. Not everyone, and listen friends, not everyone that has on wool or looks like a sheep is a sheep. Sometimes there are wolves in sheep's clothing. But Jesus says to them, you believe not because you are not of My sheep. Listen to what He says in verse 27. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. That word know has to do with an intimate personal relationship. I know them and they follow Me. My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. The reason why many of those that were standing there that day did not follow Him is because they were not His sheep. They did not obey Him because they were not His sheep. They had not trusted in Him because they were not His sheep. His sheep will hear His voice. It is incumbent upon us to make His voice known to all. That's why we preach the gospel to all. But His sheep, Isn't that what he said? My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. And in fact, they will continue to follow me. We may wander off the path from time to time. I have. But the righteous shall hold on his way and wax stronger and stronger. That's found in the book of Job. And I give, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. There are, from a very practical point, there are a number of Bible doctrines that while I don't agree with, I can sort of see how somebody can get there. I'm not post-trib, but I can see how somebody can get there. I can give you a list of somebody. There's some things that maybe I don't necessarily agree with, but I can see how somebody could get there. But I do have a hard time understanding why people doubt the doctrine of eternal security. When Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, do you know what the word eternal means? It means eternal. It means everlasting. I give unto them eternal life. Everlasting life. I'm going to turn back just real quick and read this because I think it fits John chapter number 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you know just that phrase alone is used over 25 times in the New Testament? Eternal life. Now, I can understand why people can disagree on certain things, but I do have a hard time with this one. I've got some good friends who don't agree with this, and that, you know, they can go on and be wrong, but Christ gives eternal life, everlasting life. God's love is immutable. It is unchangeable. It is unchanging. He doesn't love you and then stop loving you. And he doesn't start again and stop. That's not, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God doesn't change. He doesn't start and quit. He doesn't turn you over to yourself. No more than you would rescue your child from a burning home and then just let them fall back in. You know, you reach out and snatch them out and you wouldn't just let them go. You love them, you'd hold on to them. And that's exactly what he's done for us. I give unto them eternal life. And I want you to notice verse 28 again. And they shall never perish. Forgive my bluntness. But I don't know how much plainer Jesus can be. They shall never perish. I like what the Amplified Bible says is it helps us with this. It says they will never, ever, by any means perish. Never perish. There's no buts. There's no what ifs. There's no, well, maybe you didn't think about, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Robbie, I want you to come up here, will you please? Yeah, really, seriously. It's a little bit unorthodox, but I've got a purpose on this. This is you. Except for Ken, because he has hair. No, this is you. Just for the sake of my illustration, this is you. Okay? Give me your hands. Now, what does that text say? What does it say in verse 28? Neither shall any. And interesting, that word man there is in italics, which means it's there to help us with the translation, which is fine, that's good. But it's not limited to man, neither shall anything or anyone, not Satan himself, not the devils, not the demons, not even you. No man, no thing, no one, no sin, no history, no past can pluck us out of his, not hand, but what? Hands. So give me that other hand. This is you. Now you think Alexa could pull that out of his hands? Nah. But hold on, I'm not done. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, mightier than all, stronger than all. Neither can any man pluck them out of my, what? Father's hands, right? So you're in Jesus' hands, and tonight you get to be Jesus, but just for a little while. So you're in His hands, but you know what else you are? You're in the Father's hands. Now who's going to get you out of that? What's going to get you out of that? Nothing. No one. Because the text says in verse 29 that the Father is stronger than all. He gave them to me, and you are in our hands. Satan can't get in there. Your own sin can't get you out of there. Your enemies can't get you out of there. Nothing, no one, no power could get you out of these hands. Have we held hands long enough now? All right. But there's just a little simple illustration for you. Do you feel secure? You ought to feel secure tonight. You are not only safe in the hands of Jesus, but you're safe in the hands of the Father. You are in their hands and kept by the Holy Spirit. We're not going to leave Him out of this as well. You are sealed. Sealed, and that means that seal won't be broken. Kept by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. You are under the control of the triune God. Now, you ought to find a little bit of security in that tonight. You ought to be able to go to bed, lay your head on your pillow tonight, and say, today I have failed my God. Today I've not thought right, I've not done right, I've not acted right, but listen, God still loves me and nothing can pluck me out of His hands. That word pluck really has to do with snatching, stealing or thieving. It's the same word that is used in 1 Thessalonians where it talks about us being snatched away at rapture. Same word is used there. Listen, nothing can pry God's fingers open and snatch you out. Nothing can pull back the hands of the Good Shepherd and pull away any sheep. Not even one. No wolf, no thief, no bandit, no hireling, no demon, not even the devil himself. Not even you can snatch one sheep from the Good Shepherd's hand. And you ought to find some consolation for your soul in that. Yes, I fail. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I still got a depraved nature. But God knew all that when He saved me. God knew all of that when Christ came to die for my sins, and I am safe in His hands. Now, when you read that, verse 28, it says, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. Neither will any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no person, no power, no time, no eternity, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God has invested too much in this to leave you over to yourself. Do you see now why I told you I get a little bit more fired up about this? Yes. You are eternally secure. If you're saved, truly saved, you are eternally secure. If you would, turn over to the book of Romans with me tonight. Romans, I mentioned chapter 9. I want you to look at chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter number 8. Now listen, eternal security is not a license to sin. Opponents of eternal security those who do not believe in the perseverance and preservation of the saints, many of them say, well, you once saved, always saved. People, you think people can go out and sin all they want to and still go to heaven. Well, we need to clear up some of that language. Number one, and don't fall out of your pew when I say this, I already sin all I want to, and then some. Do you understand what I just said? Grace, in fact, Paul deals with this in Romans 6, grace is not a license to lasciviousness. Eternal security doesn't mean I can go out and do whatever I want to do. Listen, if you are truly a Christian, you got to get in Romans 6 where it says, because we are free, because we are secure, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is God forbid. Never, never, no, no, never, no. You got to get into Romans 7 then when Paul's talking about the battle that goes on within each of us, the old nature and the new nature. And it is a struggle. Yes, yes, I believe in eternal security, but here's the deal. That is not a license for me to go out and do what I want to do and say, well, God's got me, nothing is going to change. If that's your attitude, it may be that you are not in His hands. When I say I sin all I want to, do you understand what I mean? I mean, I'm already doing more than what I want to. I have a new nature in me that does not want to give in to the old ways. And still I do often. So I sin not only all I want to, I sin more than I want to. So don't try to say, well, y'all believe you can just do whatever you want to do. Listen, I do more of what I don't want to do already. And I don't do as much of what I really want to do as I ought to. Really, if you look at Romans 6, he asked that question, shall we continue in sin that grace would abound? Romans 7, he deals with that old and new nature, that battle that goes on. Romans 8 begins, there is therefore now no condemnation. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. And earlier I kept saying Romans 9, and I was wrong when I was saying it. It's Romans 8 here. Y'all forgive me for that. We'll put that up to old age and being tired. But Romans 8 has that golden chain, being foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified. But what I want you to see now, and forgive me for misquoting earlier, but what I want you to see right now is the questions that Paul asked concerning the love of God for us. Look, if you would, at verse 35, Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And let me tweak that question, only because the Scripture will allow it. Who will pluck us out of the hands of Jesus? Who will snatch us out of the Father's hands? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that sweet? There is nothing, no one, time, eternity, wickedness, past, present, future, Lucifer, just whatever. Nothing, if you are truly, truly saved, nothing can separate you from that love. Nothing can pry the fingers of the omnipotent God open and pluck you out. You are not going to stretch open the fingers of the sovereign and snatch out even one of his saints. Not one. There is real comfort in knowing that ultimately it's not me holding on to God. It's God holding on to me, ultimately. Because I know my grasp is weak. Listen, and I was picking a little bit earlier when I said seniors. So I have noticed over the last couple of years, especially as I get older, my fingers won't do what I tell them to do. And my hands are not as strong as they used to be. And I know, compared to some of you, I'm still young. I know that's what you're thinking. You're just a whippersnapper. Right? I get it, right? But my fingers just don't want to do what I want them to do. And my grasp is not as strong as it once was, and they tell me it's not going to get any better. Right? And let me tell you something. God hasn't gotten old or weak or frail. He is the eternal one. And you are safe in His hands. And He has got a hold on you, and there's not anything, not even you. You can't even press His fingers open and pull yourself out. I don't know why you'd want to, but even if you did, you can't do that because none is greater than, nothing will separate you from the love of God. I didn't save myself, and I'm not going to keep myself saved, but one of these days I'll be glorified because of the eternal love of God the Father. You are, if you are a Christian, you are eternally secure. Just for those who oppose this or have a problem with it, I wish they'd just let John 10 say what John 10 said. They shall never perish. Every Bible doctrine has solid application. If it doesn't make sense, in other words, if there's no real practical application to it, it's not a true Bible doctrine. Okay? The application so rich in this is you can rest at night knowing there's no sin limit. In other words, you can't sin 999,999 times and when you reach 1,000,000, God writes you off. No, you are eternally secure. There is nothing that you can do to separate yourself or anybody to separate you from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus.